Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. The main point today is that if you refuse to serve God as king, you will end up serving something less than God as king. And you say, no, I'm going to be my own boss. Well, that's not the way it works. It turns out you're really not in a position to govern even your world, much less the universe. There is a God who rules over all, and if you refuse, if you say, no, I will not serve him, I will not, you will end up serving something less than God as king. Let's look at it together in 1 Samuel chapter 8. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now, listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. And the Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Everyone go back to his town." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It's been a number of years now. My oldest son is 35. At the time that this happened, he was 16. He was driving from our house down to devotions at the ranch. He had his younger brother, Clayton, seated in the front seat next to him. Mr. Andrew was riding in the car with me as we followed them down the hill. Now, Paul was just learning to drive, and he had an additional challenge in that his legs don't work, so he had to steer with one hand and control the gas and brake with the other. And unfortunately, the car that he was driving, the engine lost power, and with it, he no longer had power steering or power brakes. Well, that made the car harder to control. And Paul, not wanting to risk running off the embankment and tumbling down the mountainside, decided that he would go into the ditch on the right-hand side where the embankment goes up this way. And so he pulled the car in that direction and began bouncing in and out of the ditch because he didn't know how to get the car to stop. Mr. Andrew asked me, "What is he doing?" And I said, "He's having a car wreck." Okay? You see, I was following behind in my vehicle, and we could see what was going on, and it didn't look good. But what was happening was not something where I could fix it. Now, God's different than me. Because God could intervene, and he could call things to a halt, and he could turn everything around, but he has chosen in his sovereignty not to. In his sovereignty, he has chosen to give us responsibility for making some decisions. And sometimes we do really stupid stuff. God could have made it so that in the Garden of Eden, there wasn't a tree of good and evil. Could have. But he didn't. He could have made it so that when Adam and Eve tasted the fruit, they just went, and that was the end. God makes two more people and gives them a chance. Could have, but he didn't. He could have wiped out Noah and his family along with everybody else in the great flood, but he didn't. He chose to save some. God is sovereign. He does what he chooses. But that makes it all the more insane for us to try and resist his rule. For us to fail to recognize who he is and how blessed we are to have such a king, to have such a ruler. God had just rescued his people from the Philistines. And now, having been rescued, some time goes by and the people say, everybody else has a king. All the surrounding nations have a king. Why can't we have a king? Why would you want a king? Well, because all the other nations have a king. Yeah, but they don't serve your God. He is your king. We'd like an earthly king, a human king, somebody we can see, somebody we can wave at, somebody who will ride out before us and lead us in our battles. That's what they say. Look at it. Verse 20, "Then we will be like all the other nations with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles." God led them in the defeat of the Philistines. Remember this story last time? He thundered against the Philistines, and the Philistines were so panicked, they turned and ran the other way, and the Israelites were able to chase them down and slaughter them. I mean, what earthly king could do that? It wasn't as if they needed an earthly king. They wanted an earthly king. Just a few points here. Learn to distinguish between what you need and what you want. You will find that many of the temptations toward big mistakes that you will have in life come from not recognizing the difference between what you need and what you want. And if you think you need whatever you want, you will make a lot of stupid decisions that will come back to bite you in the behind. You will be sorry. if you don't learn to distinguish between what you need and what you want. I was walking through the grocery aisles, two old guys who looked like Baptists paused at the Krispy Kreme display. And as I pushed my little cart by, I just said to them, yield not to temptation. Kept walking. Let me tell you, if I think, oh, I need a donut. I really need, I'm having a hard day. And it's tough, a lot of stress. I need a donut. I'm not thinking straight, okay? If you confuse needs and wants, you'll make bad decisions. The Israelites thought that they needed an earthly king. They didn't. They just wanted one. And one of the main reasons they wanted one is because they wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to be like everybody else. Everybody else has one. Look at verse 5. They said to him, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us such as all the other nations have. Look at verse 20. Then we will be like all the other nations. One of the most powerful pressures pushing them into the ditch, into the wreck, into the wrong decision, one of the most powerful formative forces leading them in the wrong direction was the desire to be like everybody else. I don't care if you are in kindergarten or if you are in a nursing home. Peer pressure is a powerful thing. It is powerful. We are hardwired to look around and see what other folks are up to and try and do the same thing. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. All kinds of studies have been done on this. And it is astounding the bizarre things that people will do in order to try and fit in. Why are they doing that? I don't know. Everybody else is doing that. Yeah, but why are you doing it? Well, I don't know. Why would people do that? Peer pressure. Peer pressure. I want to recite for you something Jesus tells us about life. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and very few people find it. If you are moving with the traffic, if you are going along with the crowd, if you are fitting in with what most people are up to, I can guarantee you you're headed in the wrong direction. Jesus is the one who set that out. Pastor Wood, I think you're just being narrow. No, I'm not being narrow. I'm on a narrow road. Thank God. I think most of us would say, well, yeah, I think most of you would. Because most of you are on a broad road. You're headed for destruction. You need to repent. You need a change of mind that results in a change of direction. If you're going with the flow, have you seen the shirts? You know, just go with the flow. That's what I do. I just try and go with the flow, man. You know, just go with the flow. The flow of what? If you're going along with the crowd, if you're trying to fit in, if you're trying to be normal, if you're trying to be average, typical, just like everybody else, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way.
Folks, with current events, many of us are realizing all the more that our time on earth is temporary. While I have many on my heart that I pray will surrender to Jesus, I'm beginning to get very excited about soon spending forever with Him. Can you relate? If you're like many of us who are rethinking our wills, I'd like to ask you to consider leaving a gift to support the kids at Wares Valley Ranch. We have a program called Legacy 145. It's based on Psalm 145:4. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. if participating in something that will pass on the gospel to future generations after you're in heaven interests you, go to wvr.org and click on the icon for Legacy 145. That's wvr.org and click on the Legacy 145 button. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, here, Samuel sees the people making a huge mistake. And he wants to stop them. But God demonstrates his wrath just like he does in Romans chapter 1 when he tells people, have it your way. Have it your way. Read Romans 1:18 and following. What do you find? When God pours out his wrath, what it looks like is God giving them over to do what they desire. God says, go ahead. This is going to be hard to capture on tape, but you might want to try and catch this. Kyle, would you come up here, please? I'm going to hold your hand here. I want you to pull in that direction. Pull. 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 There you go. Pull. You're not pulling hard enough. Now, what happens if I let go? If I let go of this guy when he's trying to get away from me, if I suddenly say, okay, boom, let go, boom, he's on the floor. I didn't do that to you, did I, Kyle? I don't want to hurt you. Go have a seat. Yeah, give him a round of applause there. He did a good job. Thank you. I want you to understand something. When God restrains us, he is being merciful and kind. God's wrath is displayed when he lets us go. He gives us over to a depraved mind, and we do all kinds of horrible things. Like, read Romans 1:18 and following. It sounds like a description of contemporary America and the church. Sadly. Now, the Israelites said, we want an earthly king, so that we can be like the other nations. And Samuel says, huge mistake. God says, let them have what they want. But tell them what the consequences will be. Warn them. He says, they are doing just what they've done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day. Forsaking me and serving other gods, that's what they're doing with you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly. This is verse 9. Warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. What's the king who will reign over them going to do? The king's going to act like he's God. I want 10%. Okay. Can you imagine how wonderful it would be if we had a government here in America that only wanted 10%? The model that we're on is more like what Joseph set up in Egypt, where everybody became slaves of the government, because the government ends up taking everything. There's an attitude on the part of those who govern that is a cancerous attitude that says, ultimately, it all belongs to us. The government can do whatever we please. You get your rights from us. We will tell you what you can do. We will tell you what you will and will not do. We will tell you how much you can keep. We will tell you how much you can spend. We will tell you how much you can earn. We will tell you where you can live. We will tell you how you can live. Let me just tell you, when the government's doing that, the government's acting as if it's God. Now the government, if it's going to play the role of God, also has to say, we will take care of you if you are sick. Okay? We will tell you what your children need to learn. We will run your life and we will provide for you from cradle to grave. And if you're out of work, don't worry about it. We'll take care of you because we are the giant dispenser of good. This is not a new American problem. This is not a problem of one political party. This is the history of mankind's perversion. When we don't want to depend on God, we end up serving something less than God as God. It's been going on for ages. It's not new. It's not an American problem. It's not a modern problem. It's a human problem. We said last time that in the garden, Adam and Eve decided they didn't have to do what God said. They were going to be like God and do what a snake said. See, they didn't become independent. They started taking orders from a serpent instead of from the Lord God. Instead of obeying the Creator who invented paradise, they think they can strike a blow for independence by taking orders from a snake. That's crazy. Yep, sin is crazy. It is absolutely nuts for us to ever think we can come up with a better plan than the one that was devised by infinite intelligence. He knows your future. He knows your needs. He knows your longings. And amazingly, he has shown his love for us. Now, in this chapter, God says, give them what they're asking for, but warn them solemnly first as to what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is, when you've got a king, the king is going to treat you as if you belong to him. And he can take the best of your fields, the best of your animals. He can demand not only 10%, but he gets to choose. He can say, your daughter is going to come to my palace. And you don't have the ability to say no. The king is going to tell you, this is mine. The king is going to play God. God told him, told Samuel, tell the people, when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. Verse 19. The people refused to listen to Samuel. Be careful how you listen. Jesus said, let him who has ears to hear, hear. Some of you will sit here day after day, week after week, month after month, and the truth of God is going to come to you from various Bible teachers, and you're not going to hear a thing. It's just not there. Listen. Don't refuse to listen. Listen. Listen and say, God, help me to understand what you're saying. Help me as I read your word. Help me as I memorize your word. Help me understand it. Help me to believe it. Help me to obey it. I don't just want more information when I go to Scripture. I want God to transform me. The people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said. We want a king over us. Then we'll be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles. They wanted to walk by sight. They didn't want to have faith. They wanted to walk by sight. They said, we want to be able to see the king. We want somebody we can look at. They want somebody they can see. God says, give it to them. Warn them what's going to happen, but then give them what they ask for. Let me tell you something. You can have all kinds of things. You can achieve all kinds of goals. You can accomplish all kinds of achievement. But what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Don't worry about what other people are doing, what other people have. Just focus on the Lord. You will find rest for your soul.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.